How we doing on this summer Monday in New York City? Evan and Tiki back together again. It's clear that we are so different. Tiki goes to Ireland. I drive to every U.S. state I can get to over the course of 6 days. But here we are on this Monday, and I know, I understand that there will be a lot of Yankee fans as this show rolls on that will be mad at me. And they won't be mad at me because I'm a hater. They won't be mad at me because I'm so negative. They won't be mad at me because I'm the Met fan dancing on the grave. It's the actual opposite of that. They'll be mad at me because I don't think your team sucks as much as you all do. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But I do want to address something that has bothered me as a baseball fan.
Let's hear it.
And you can tell me, Evan, you're an idiot, or Evan, you're the genius. I don't know. I like Aaron Boone. I do. Now, I'm not going to get as nuts as Sean was on Friday and some others who were saying, fire the guy.
Right. I was in Ireland and I even saw that news pop across my feed. The hell is wrong with him?
Fire Aaron Boone. I'm not firing Aaron Boone, nor am I blaming Aaron Boone for a lot of their struggles. But, there is an image over the last 5 days that I can't get out of my head. Mm-hmm. And it's the image of laziness. It's the image of not being smart on the base paths. It's an image of, shucks, things aren't going well for us. And the plays I'm talking about, which I'm sure many Yankee fans are familiar with, late last week with Trent Grisham, that was worse than I don't give a crap play. That was a why am I playing baseball play. He also had an at-bat recently in which he literally took three pitches right down the middle. It looked like Trent Grisham would rather be anywhere but here. Then you have the absolute brain-dead play from Friday that, Tiki, you could argue cost them the game.
Yeah.
With DJ LeMahieu not getting in a rundown and Anthony Volpe stopping running.
The worst part about that is that, I mean, quite literally, 3 days before, or 2 or 3 days before, Aaron Judge did it correctly.
Right.
He got into a rundown so that, I forgot who was on third, maybe it was Soto, so Soto could score.
Yes.
Remember, he came in, that's when he bruised his hand.
Yeah.
You just did it correctly.
And now you do it incorrectly. And I think the problem that the Yankee fan has, and I'm going to raise my hand, this is where I will join you, is that this manager never seems to make a big deal of it. This manager never seems to say, you know what, that kind of garbage is unacceptable. Even the press conference after yesterday's loss, and we'll get into some aspects of that loss, it's like Aaron Boone is playing the replays of everything he said in 2023 and 2022. It's all right in front of us. We know who we are. We'll be fine. And I wonder, Tiki, if not holding players accountable and not showing that anger, not to just umpires, but to your team, is actually leading and contributing to these struggles we've seen over the last 3.5 weeks.
That's hard to know because that depends on the makeup of the guys in that clubhouse. But just before you get to Aaron Boone and we start crushing him for not holding his players accountable, whenever there was an effort thing, in at least in the sport I played, it was always on whoever the team captain was, whoever was the offensive leader or defensive leader or special teams leader, depending on where you were catching this laziness. It was on that guy to chew out the player. I think what's happened with the Yankees is that there's this philosophy that Aaron Boone espouses, and I give him credit because he doesn't want to be the one throwing guys under the bus in press conferences because we all know how that turns out. As soon as you say something even slightly derogatory about one of your players, all of a sudden the manager hates Gleyber Torres or he hates whoever you're talking about, and that narrative will stick. It'll never go away. So I get why Aaron Boone doesn't do that. But to me, if Gleyber's dogging it or if Anthony Volpe's not doing something right, it's on Aaron Judge to say something to them. And we saw this a week ago.
With Marcus Stroman and Gleyber.
Gleyber Torres. Yep. And he wasn't over there chastising. He was just, hey, dude, just pay attention to this. Or, actually, he didn't even say that. He basically said, give Gleyber a slack. I should have done better on the first out of that inning type of thing. And so Like, to me, this is more on the leadership in the clubhouse than it is on the leadership of the team that is Aaron Boone. And I know everybody, it's easy to point at Aaron Boone.
Sure.
But Aaron Boone also has the New York Yankees at 55 wins with him. Nobody's checked. It's the third most wins in the American League right now. So what exactly are we talking about? You're not going to give him credit when they're hot, but you're going to give him all this slack and want to fire him when they're not for 22 games? I mean, come on.
Here's what I will say as someone that doesn't think the Yankees are done, doesn't think that they're a mess, doesn't think that this season is spiraling out of control. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe I'll get to that point. I'm not there yet. 22 games doesn't do it for me. I will say this. You're right. Aaron Boone does deserve credit for the Yankee success early this season. And yes, I don't blame Aaron Boone for everything that's gone wrong with this Yankee team over this 22-game stretch. We'll go into details on what's gone wrong. The answer, in short, is everything.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do look at and say, hey, this is on the manager, is the messaging to the team and even the messaging to the fans.
Right, but do we know
it's
what the messaging
same,
is?
Do I know what he's doing?
Do we know what the messaging is to the team?
What, no, but what I do know is what he said after the game to answer what happened on that DJ Volpe play. And it wasn't enough. It wasn't hey, look, Anthony's got to realize, put your head freaking down and run through home. There is no reason for you to slow up. That's number one. Number two, DJ LeMahieu, who's been in the league forever, has to know, hey, maybe I should get into a rundown so I can ensure that run scores.
Yeah.
And instead, he gave us nothing.
I think that what we've seen with the Yankees, and it's exacerbated and blown up because they're the Yankees and one of the best teams in baseball this year, is that they are doing what every athlete in baseball does at times. And it's so annoying to watch. Right, there was a philosophy in the NFL that if you didn't, like, even in practice, run to the goal line, you were hurting your chances to get on the field.
Right,
but in baseball, you see this all the time, and it's just stupid cool pose. Like, I'm so cool, I don't have to run out a double play ball. I'm so cool, the inning's over, let me just chill. Look how cool I look. I'm just gonna coast into home. Like, you can't get away with that and be a successful team. You kind of have to be a guy who just smashed a home run and evened it up for the Mets against the Pirates. You kind of have to be Brandon Nimmo, right? No matter what the circumstances is, you have one speed, right? It is, I'm going all the time. I am full go every single, because you never know what's going
to
happen.
Right, right.
It's the same thing that happens in football when, say, a running back breaks free down the sideline and the D tackles, he could just laze. He'd just be like, oh, I'm just going to loaf my way down the field. It's cool, whatever. It's a foregone conclusion. Or he could bust his ass, because you know what? You never know what could happen. Right. The running back could get hit and fumbled, and guess who recovers the football?
Right, right.
It's the guy who's busting his ass. Well, and so I think this is more of a baseball problem that's being overexploited because it's the Yankees. Too many baseball players chill. You see it all the time. Right, they just chill. I'm just going to not run this out the first base. It's a ground ball to the shortstop. He's going to make a perfect throw. I'm out already. I'm just going to, I'm out. I'm conceding.
Right.
Baseball players concede too much. And when you're going through this extended slump like the Yankees are, you can't afford to concede.
Well, that you just nailed it. When you're not playing good baseball, and the Yankees are not playing good baseball, no one could sugarcoat that. They're bad at everything right now. Mm-hmm. Their offense has been wildly inconsistent. They'll have an occasional game like they had Saturday where they score 14 runs,
yes,
or a week earlier where they score 16 runs against Toronto. But overall, this team's scoring about 3 runs per game. Their starting pitching has been dreadful. Their bullpen is not reliable. Even the usually reliable Clay Holmes blows as tough of a game as you could possibly blow on Friday night.
Didn't stop him from making the All-Star game.
That's right. When everything is going wrong, and right now everything is going wrong with the New York Yankees, you can't give your fans another reason to hate you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't play lackadaisical baseball. I know the Trent Grisham play from a week ago didn't cost the Yankees anything, but it's the imagery of it. It's the look of a baseball player who, by the way, is on the interstate. It's not like Trent Grisham is Ken Griffey Jr. in his prime. He's barely hit this year.
Right.
You can't play a ball the way he played that last week. You can't give away a run against a feisty Red Sox team the way they did Friday night, even if we didn't think it was going to come back and haunt them, because all Clay Holmes needed to do was put away Yoshida, and they would have won the game anyway. You can't do that. And I think when you pile that together, and then you hear from the manager, and I feel like I've said this every year, it's like deja vu. But my deja vu is his deja vu, which is You are the press secretary to the fans. When you sit there in front of a microphone as your team loses 2 out of 3 to Boston and 16 of their last 22, you can't play the same hits over and over again.
Yeah.
Which is, it's all right in front of us. We're going to rip. We'll be fine. Like, it's the same crap.
But it's also true. Is it not true?
You know where it's not true?
Seriously.
Here's where it's not true, Tiki.
92 games into the season, or whatever it is, 91, whatever, almost 90 games into the season, right? It is true.
Here's why it's not true. I'm gonna push back with this. At some point on this show, probably real soon, probably in this opening hour, I will explain why I think the Yankees will be fine. And there will be a lot of Yankee fans pissed off about that. And one of the things they're going to cite back at me is what happened 2 years ago. They were 61-23, better than this team.
Yeah.
And then they collapsed, and they went 18-31, and they completely crumbled. And Yankee fans remember that. And they're going to look at this stretch and say, Evan, open up your eyes. This is 2022 all over again. Or even 2023 all over again when they were 9 games above 500 and then for an extended stretch went 26-43. Or 2021 all over again when they were 10 games above 500 and started playing crappy baseball. So their retort is going to be, no, I've seen this before.
But that's a different team. It's a different, not complete makeup, but it is a different team. That's the reality of it, right? And I know Giancarlo Stanton is the one that everybody points to because he's always hurt and unavailable, but I actually think Giancarlo Stanton took the time off because he needed to take the time off.
Well, let me tell you something about Giancarlo Stanton, okay? And this is not a rip on him. This is a fact. When you try to dissect why they're 5-15 or why they're 6-16, however you want to start this slide,
yes.
We all look at either the finale against Kansas City, where Clay Holmes blew the game,
yep.
Or we look at the opener of the Red Sox series, or I should say the second game of the Red Sox series, where they lost Saturday and Sunday, and they lost the series to Boston. You know what the real line of demarcation is? When Giancarlo Stanton got hurt.
Yeah.
Because he got hurt after they beat the Braves in the second game of that 3-game series. Since that point, the Yankees have won 3 games. Keep that in mind. Since Giancarlo Stanton went down in the middle of the Atlanta series, they are, let's see, 3-13? Like, it's brutal.
Right. But it's better that it happened now, in the middle of the summer, than later on, after the All-Star break, when they're really making a run. Because he's, like, I know we don't want to accept it, but without him, they're a different team. Because once you get past those top 2 or 3, which we're always talking about, and now even Volpe is pushed back because of his ineffectiveness, once you get past that little top-heavy part of the Yankees line, who scares you? And it was nobody except for Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah,
yeah, he's going to strike out a lot. He's going to hit 230 or whatever it is. But there are moments where you're thankful for him, and now you're missing him. Is he coming back? Yes. Is it going to be extended? I don't think so. Aaron Boone told us 2 weeks ago. It's going to be 4 weeks. Not 4 weeks until he's starting to run or get ready again, but 4 weeks until he's back. And so they know they had to weather that. And if they come through it and he comes back and he's the same as he was before he was injured, they're going to be fine. That's what Aaron Boone is talking about. Now, maybe what he's saying is mostly hope as opposed to, because look, Giancarlo Stanton could come back and just suck.
No, yes, right. That's on the table.
So sure. But as the manager, all you can do is expect what you have recently seen. And that's him being an important catalyst in the bottom half of this
lineup.
And
that's a part of what drives Yankee fans nuts. A, he's publicly telling us the same things he's told us for the last 5 years. And then B, we have seen the Yankees and certain players. We mentioned a few of them, the Trent Grissom situation. Obviously, Gleyber Torres' lack of hustle from a few weeks ago into the DJ Anthony Volpe play. And it seems like the manager doesn't really do much about it. And I think the Yankee fan...
But what would you have him do? Yell and scream?
Well, that's my question to you then, Teak. Will he lose the room if he does something that he doesn't normally do?
No, I don't think he will. But I do think that he has a philosophy and you can't change who you are. And right now, if he decides to start yelling and screaming, which those guys will look at and be like, oh, who the hell is this guy? I mean, it could do one of two things. It could make them respond and really, you know, wake up. But there is no consequence for him yelling and screaming at them, right? So there's no consequence for him not, so there's no consequences that he will. Like, what does it actually do other than to make him look like a jerk? And he's determined not to be that. The other thing that it would do is they just ignore him. And that's the last thing you want, because that's when he's really done. And I don't think he wants to put himself in that position.
Aaron Boone, since he took over for Joe Girardi in 2018, the perception we've had was he's the nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's the player's manager. When you go back to why they decided to let Joe Girardi walk away, a part of what came out was he was too hard on Gary Sanchez.
Yep.
He was too tough on Gary Sanchez. And here we are. How many years has it been now? It's 2024. He took over in 2018. 6 years later, and it feels like the Yankees are dying for that opposite reaction.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean that we got to go George Steinbrenner 2.0 and fire Boone and bring Girardi back.
No.
But the point is, that's what feels like is missing when they go through stretches like this and you see them play dumb baseball. And the manager gives you the same song and dance after every game. I don't believe they should fire Aaron Boone. I don't believe Aaron Boone's the reason they're struggling. But I am not going to bury my head in the sand and say, it's fine that he reacts like that to every situation.
Yeah,
it's tough.
I think it's just his philosophy. And there's nothing, and we should all know, because Aaron Boone's been here for a while now, or at least a handful of years. And he hasn't reacted any differently at any time. So why are we now going to expect him to do it? So if this is really as big an issue as we're all making it out to be, then somebody else has to do it. Mm. And I vote the guy who has a C on his jersey, even though it's not really there.
We'll get your calls, 888-801-1019. Do you want and do you blame Aaron Boone for the malaise the Yankees are going through? Plus, something very interesting from last night's game, a frustrating loss to Boston, and that was the idea that Aaron Boone made a big mistake. He should have given Rafael Devers the Barry Bonds treatment by not even letting him bat in the seventh inning. We'll go through that and decide, did Aaron Boone make the right decision or the wrong decision? We'll get to the Mets later on. They're playing an afternoon game in Pittsburgh that the manager decided, we don't feel like winning, because he decided to take Christian Scott after like 76 pitches out of the game.
77 to be exact.
77. Sorry to shortchange him to go to Eric Orsi to make his major league debut, and he imploded. And the Mets are getting their butts kicked by the Pittsburgh Pirates, but we'll get to them later. Last night, the New York Yankees lost the finale of that three-game series against the Boston Red Sox. A very important game. Now, there are games over the course of 162 that, to me, just feel bigger than others. I think the Mets had one yesterday afternoon as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the Yankees had a chance to win a series against Boston, win their first series in what feels like forever. They had a chance to do it after suffering such a horrific loss on Friday night when Clay Holmes blew the game. And so the Yankees and the Red Sox are engaged in this awesome 0-0 battle. Luis Gil is giving you this awesome bounce-back performance. That's got to make you feel good. Concerned about Luis Gil? Here he comes out with his best performance in a long while. And it's 0-0. And Aaron Boone allows Luis Gil to start the seventh inning. His pitch count at the time was 86. No issue with that.
Mm-hmm.
You with me on that?
Not at all.
No issue. The guy's pitching great. It's 0-0. The Yankees can't score a run. They can't even work Cutter Crawford. His pitch count was incredibly low. He gets the first guy out, Tyler O'Neill, and here comes Rafael Devers, who has become the Yankees' boogeyman. He is the David Ortiz of 2024. And what I'm curious about, all you Yankee fans out there glued to your TVs on a Sunday night or at Yankee Stadium on a gorgeous Sunday night, did you really want to treat Rafael Devers as good as he is? Like Barry Bonds?
I mean,
did you want to do that?
I didn't.
You didn't?
I didn't. I thought, get him out. Heel, you're back to what you're supposed to be. Just get him out.
Now, Lukey.
Your slider has been ridiculous. Get him out.
As an IBO, you're capable of putting the IBO hat on. Did you think with one out and nobody on in the seventh inning with Luis Gil dealing that they needed to treat Rafael Devers like he's Ted Williams?
You need to treat him like Ted Williams. They're red hot.
Devers is basically
the only guy in that lineup that strikes fear in your heart. He owns Gerrit Cole for sure, and he owns the Yankees. Over the last couple of years, he's become Manny Ramirez.
Okay.
He's become David Ortiz, so I, in that spot, would not let him beat me.
Okay. Lugie represents, you know what? Good job being a populist. He represents, I'd say, about 25% of dumbass Yankee fans. I'm just kidding. Dumbass is strong. I take that back. Before I tell you why you guys respectfully are wrong, here's the manager being asked, hey, What's going on here? Why don't you treat Rafael Devers like Barry Bonds on steroids?
Is there a point where you just say, I can't let this guy beat us again?
Yeah, but I'm not going to walk him there, intentionally walk him with the bases empty in a 0-0 game. Like, we know who he is. We know where he is, and, you know. So, yeah, I hear you. But, no, we're not going to intentional walk. And if you're asking on an intentional walk. Now, obviously being careful and trying to get at spots and trying to stay away from slug and those kind of things matter. But, you know, that's, to me, not even a consideration of putting him on in a 0-0 game with nobody on base.
Not even a considerations. And then he added, you're all dumbasses.
I'm just kidding.
I was getting ready to say, how much do you think he swallowed? What a dumbass question. Seriously.
But you know why? It's a dumbass question, but it's not.
Go ahead.
I think that there were a lot of people watching last night's game, Tommy Lugauer included, he's being an IBO mm-hmm. here, and I respect him for that, who sat there with the attitude of, this guy kills us. We cannot give up a game-winning home run. So I will respectfully tell you guys why you're wrong.
Okay, but, okay, keep going.
Are you ready?
I am.
I'm on your side. You don't have to be mad at me.
You're on my side. But I'm just saying, the idea that he's going to give up a game-winning... Okay, if he hits a home run, so what?
Well, so what? You're down 1-0.
Exactly. 1-0. It's the Yankees, for Christ's sakes. Go score a run or two and win the game. That's what it comes down to. So if you're Aaron Boone, you're going to sit here and tell me, hey, you should have walked Rafael Devers because you know what? Your team sucks. Aaron Judge and Soto and everybody else stinks. They're not scoring any runs. Like, how can you tell the manager? How can he think that he would even believe that? Right? I mean, it comes back because he hits another one, but that's not this moment. And the only thing that Luis Gil did wrong is he should have thrown a slider as opposed to a fastball because he missed it. Right, he put it right, left it right over the center of the plate. If he had put it outside like strike one was, or down in the bottom of the zone like strike two was, he would have been fine. But he made a mistake. Guess what? He's young. He's gonna make mistakes.
Right.
You can't fault Aaron Boone and say he should be fired because of his management of a Luis Gil and his bounce back game. Hey, come on.
No. And I agree with you based on
people overreacting to this, man.
I agree with you based on simple math. Rafael Devers owns the New York Yankees, right? We all agree with that. If you look at his rate of hitting home runs at Yankee Stadium or his rate of hitting home runs just against the Yankees, period, he does it 6% of the time, which, by the way, is a great number. It's 6%. There's a 6% chance he's hitting a home run.
Yes.
6%.
And there's nobody on and one out.
If you put him on and there's a runner on first and one out, do you know what the percentage is that you're giving up a run? It's over 40%.
Yeah.
So this is like math. And that's where I will defend Aaron Boone against the lunacy of Rafael Devers being treated like he's Babe Ruth.
But you throw out math, and we've seen this before with teams we root for. When a guy continues to kill you over and over again, I'll use this analogy.
Mm-hmm.
You break up with your girlfriend. We've all been there. There's that one guy you go, date anybody but him. Anybody but him. He was my roommate in college. Please don't.
Yeah, then she goes and does it.
And it kills you. So you're sitting there as a Yankee fan, listening, and you're like, can Duran or one of the O'Neal, anybody else, any one of these other hacks beat me, not Devers, please, Aaron Boone, put him on base and allow someone else to do it.
I don't think, I mean, because this was the seventh inning, the top of the seventh inning. I don't think any Yankee fan saw that home run and said, we're lost. We're done.
Oh, I think they did.
I didn't.
They couldn't get a base runner against Cutter Crawford.
I understand that. But at some point, Cutter's got to come out, and you eventually got to get to the bullpen, right? So at some point, you're saying, we are going to score a run. It's one run.
Yeah, look, ultimately, you're right. The Yankees lost last night because they got shut out for, the sixth time this season? I'm in agreement with you. But that home run did feel like a death blow.
Mm-hmm.
But I just also think we got to be reasonable here. As locked in as Rafael Devers is, and he is locked in against the Yankees, he's a Yankee killer. He's the modern-day David Ortiz. And he has great respect for you guys. I saw what he said after the game. It's an honor to play in the ballpark. It's amazing. The energy. Like, he loves you guys. I mean, he loves torturing you guys.
He'll be a Yankee in 3 years.
Well, we'll see. But I do think that in that case, Aaron got it right. Where he's gotten it wrong is he comes across very soft on his own players. Let's hear from you. 888-808-1019. Ari is in West Orange. Good afternoon, Ari.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thank you for taking a call. It's been a while since I spoke to you. You know, great show.
Thank you.
Just before I get into the Boone point, to me, they didn't score any runs, guys. I mean, you could argue Devers all you want and everything like that. I mean, they got to score a run against, you know, Carter Crawford and figure out a way to get a couple of runs there, especially after the 14 runs they scored on Saturday. It just negated that whole game, obviously.
Yes, 100%.
You know, but look, with Boone, I'll be the first to say I'm not a Boone fan, but I'm not going to say that he is the problem, the main problem with this team. But, you know, guys, it's been 6 years of him, 6 years. And you just look at now, this is the third year in a row where, again, the same thing. When they're playing good baseball and they get out of the gate and everything's fine, there's no issues with him. But once the team starts getting into hard problems like they are right now, and to me this is not a blip in the season, this is an actual serious problem that I think could continue for a while, that's when you really start to see a manager's worth, guys. And I'm sorry, but this is now the third year in a row where it's the same problems that surface over and over again. Guys making mistakes on the base path, guys making errors at the worst possible times. You know, not being hard on Trent Grisham for a ridiculous play in center field and saying, oh, but he's a gold glove and everything's fine. These are the issues that, you know, I'm sorry, it's not year one, it's not year two. It's 6 years. And, you know, the furthest he's gotten is, you know, game six of the ALCS, and that was way back in 2019. You know, I don't think that right now is time to fire him. I agree it's all about the players and the way they're playing, but they got to really look at it, take a good, hard look here, because, again, you just can't keep doing the same things over and over again, guys.
Here's the ultimate question you bring up. Tiki, tell me your thoughts. The Yankees have a pattern of getting off to really good starts and then on some level either collapsing or going through these really long periods of time that changes our view on a team.
Yeah,
saw it last year, but we really saw it in 2022. Do you put that issue on the manager?
In some regards, yes. And I can't help but think back to that 2022 season, because I remember a story at the beginning of the year, because this was Nestor's first year, and they were talking about how...
His first year of being Nestor.
Being Nestor.
Yeah, because he had been around.
As a full starting pitcher.
Yeah.
Not obviously in the organization. That had been before.
Yeah.
But there were conversations that were being reported on about how the starting pitching was lobbying to go deep, right? Leave me in. If I get into some trouble, leave me in. Let's protect our bullpen. We have one of the really good bullpens in Major League Baseball. Let's make it easy. Put it on us. And at the time, it was fantastic, right? You obviously want that. You need that. And they were able to weather it for the most part. But then as the season goes on, they start to fade. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you just lose a little bit of something. And the same thing is happening this year. And so as you think about it from a tactical standpoint, does it make sense to let your guys go deep in games early in the season or save it for later in the season?
Right.
And I think that's part of the issue that you're falling into, is that you're not getting great starting pitching. I've been speculating for a week now, or 2 weeks almost, that this is a sticky stuff crackdown that nobody's talking about in Major League Baseball.
Right.
And it only precipitated in my mind because of the Diaz suspension.
Right.
But why all of a sudden can't Carlos Rodon, you know, control his off-speed stuff? Like, why all of a sudden is Clay Holmes, who doesn't give up home runs, giving up home runs?
Yeah.
Like, why all of a sudden is all of this happening?
It's tough to find the why, but what I do know is it's happening. Their starting pitching, which was so good and so consistent, like a quality start machine.
Mm-hmm.
You could write him down for that dopey stat called quality start, which now I've grown to appreciate because it defines what truly is a quality start, getting six innings out of your starter and keeping you in a game.
Yep.
In the last 13 games they've played, starting with the Giancarlo injury and starting with Edwin Diaz's suspension, they've had three of them.
Mm-hmm.
Three of them.
Right. Are those all three of the wins?
Let's see. Last night was a quality start. That was a loss.
Nope. So it's not
Friday,
all three to win.
Friday night against Boston, quality start. That was a loss.
So it's not even mattering.
No, they're 0-3 when they get quality
starts. So it doesn't even matter as it pertains to winning and losing.
But it does lead to, look, I'm a sample size kind of guy. It's a part of why I don't look at these 22 games and say, hey, that defines the Yankees more than the first 70 games. But the sample size of the last 6 years since Aaron Boone has taken over is that they always have swoons like mm-hmm. this. Like, maybe not to this extent, but every year there's some kind of swoon. In 2020, I know we don't count 2020. We forget about 2020. They were 16-6. And then they responded by going 5-15. Like, it's a small thing, but it happened. In 2022, that's the prime example. They were 61-23. They were matching the 98 Yankees. And then they went 18-31, and they were fortunate enough to win the division yeah. and make the postseason. And but so you, that's you, what you yeah. wonder.
But you knew there was it was inevitable that they were falling out.
That they weren't going to a World Series?
Yes, absolutely.
I didn't think that, but when you get to the playoffs, I can't assume
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but you're just not playing well. They were not playing well that year.
They weren't. And guess what? They still won a divisional series mm-hmm. against Cleveland, and they got to the ALCS. Mm-hmm. Let's go to John and Maspeth. What's up, John?
How's it going, fellas?
All good.
How's it going? You know, it's been an emotional week. I mean, emotional month now for us Yankee fans. But you know what, though? Aaron Boone does have to get fired. You know, not right now. But the season does not turn around, and we go into another stretch of the season again for the last 6 years, where it's the same story over and over again, where we just start off hot, then we get cold, and we just can't make the World Series. He needs to go. He doesn't hold the players accountable, you know, and we need to replace him. And the perfect person to replace him.
Here we go. We got names now. Give me a name, baby. Tiki Barber.
Are you ready for this?
No, go ahead.
Ready for this?
Yeah.
Someone who's worn the pinstripe.
Oh, God, Joe Girardi.
Someone who knows the Yankee way. Someone who knows how to win.
Yeah.
Someone who knows how to hit.
Okay.
2024 is the year of finishing the story. Cody Rhodes finished the story.
Okay.
Don Mattingly,
oh,
come get your ring. Finish your story.
Get the hell out of here.
I thought Morales was on vacation.
Was that his idea?
I love the setup, though.
Oh, he set it up beautifully.
That was beautiful.
So I want to phrase this correctly when it comes to firing managers, right? I don't look at Aaron Boone as the cause of the Yankee issues.
No.
But I have seen a lot of baseball. And I've seen a lot of baseball where teams get desperate.
Yeah.
And sometimes when they're desperate, they try the old let's fire the manager trick. And I'll give you a couple of quick examples off the top of my head. Rob Thomson taking over for Joe Girardi.
Mm-hmm.
I laugh because, well, it worked.
Yes, but it worked for very specific reasons. That is, guys like Bryce Harper got healthy. And started playing.
Listen.
Oh, that's a shocker.
Tiki.
You're much better when your superstar is available.
Tiki.
Because they didn't start out fantastic, by the way.
I understand.
As soon as Rob Thomson took over.
I know that there are specific examples where you can go through any one of the examples I'm going to give and say, well, it was because of this, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you that they fired Joe Girardi. They replaced him with Rob Thomson.
Yes.
And it worked. I'll give you another one.
That was a culture locker room issue.
Okay. I'll give you another
That's
one.
Obvious. And I don't think the Yankees have that.
Okay, fair enough. I'll give you another one. And this one, I know it's going to start kind of a fight with Met fans, but there's no disputing it. It worked. Me and Dog actually got in a fight about this. They fired Willie Randolph,
mm-hmm.
and they hired Jerry Manuel. It worked.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they didn't make the playoffs. They came up short.
Yeah.
But look what their record was.
Right.
Look how they responded.
The only reason
it worked.
The reason that gets such negative play is because it was so cold-blooded.
I agree. And we like Willie.
Of course.
Totally agree. I'll give you another one. I'll go back a little bit earlier. Hey, Yankee fans, you remember, and I'm not trying to troll here. I'm just giving you some background. Remember that year you lost to the Marlins in the World Series in 2003?
No, I was playing football. I didn't care.
That's why I'm telling you.
All right, tell me.
So
inform me. Educate me.
I'm gonna educate you.
I'll be your Padawan right now.
Thank you. I don't know what that means, but you got it.
Well, you're not a Star Wars guy.
Not at all. So the New York Yankees lost to the Florida Marlins in 2003. The Marlins manager was this old man named Jack McKeon. He was their manager, Trader Jack. And he wasn't their manager to start the year. The manager to start the year was Jeff Torberg. But the Marlins said, screw it. They got desperate. They made the move. It worked. They won the World Series. 2005, the Houston Astros manager was, you may have to fact check me on this, Larry Durker. And the Astros said, screw it, we're desperate. We got to try something. And they promoted Phil Garner. Hmm. And they got to the World Series. Right. There are a ton of examples of teams getting desperate enough to say, we've got to try something.
Okay, I would assume that Marlins team was underperforming. I would assume that Astros team was underperforming. I'm talking about record, total record.
I'll get you the answer on that in a second.
I absolutely know that the Phillies team was underperforming with the Girardi situation.
Yes.
The Yankees are 20 games over 500.
I understand.
You know what I mean?
By the way, just to give you the info, Jeff Torberg 16-22, Jack McKeon 75-49. So, yes, they were six games under 500 when they made the decision to say, hey, let's change the manager. With the Houston Astros, all right? Oh, you know what? I got that year wrong. It wasn't 2005. It was actually, and I got the manager wrong. It was 2004. They got to the NLCS that year. They fired Jimmy Williams, who was 44-44, and Phil Garner took over, and he went 48-26.
There you go.
So the Yankees are
performing.
So the Yankees aren't bad enough for you to get desperate.
Okay. I mean, they're not desperate. They're actually 18 games over 500. They are one of the best records in baseball still because they get off to a strong start. And I don't like, I think it's a perceptual desperation because of the history that fans have with Aaron Boone and the lack of faith in Aaron Boone. And in some ways, this season almost becomes like the weather vane of where Aaron Boone's career is going to be judged. Is it going to be the same thing over and over and over and over again? And at the end, you got to say, all right, Aaron, we really liked you, man. You were a great Yankee. You did some good things in the regular season, but we have to move on. It feels like it's a win or you're done type situation because the expectation, you know, I mean, it's similar to what the Jets are going to end up going through when the season starts. If they fail, everybody's gone.
Right, right.
Fact.
Well,
I don't think it's that extreme with the Yankees, but I think it is that extreme with Aaron Boone.
I wouldn't fire Aaron Boone, but when I hear our last few callers say now's not the time to replace him, I guess I disagree with that. Like, if you're going to replace him,
desperate.
No, you do it in a state of desperation. You don't do it at the end of the season and say, oh, let's just start over. Because sometimes those desperation moves work. Now, the Yankees haven't done it in decades. Like, you have to go back until the bad times of the early 90s to find the last time the Yankees did something like that. And you're right. By the way, when you say they're not desperate, you look at their record and say they shouldn't be desperate. I look at their record and say, hey, they're entrenched in a wild card spot. They shouldn't be desperate. But to the Yankee fan, they feel desperate. And that's what desperate teams do. And there is a track record where it works to a certain extent.
You know what, Evan? The previous caller brought up Cody Rhodes finishing his story. There's a manager sitting at home right now that wants to finish his story.
Oh, God.
And his name.
I know. Go do it.
Buck Showalter.
I was thinking about that the other day.
Yankee fans would love it. You know, God. Buck wants to win. He wants to win with the Yankees. You fire Boone and you hire Buck Showalter to finish his story.
I mean, as much as we talk about them not being desperate, they're only 4.5 games up in the wild card.
Oh, so now you think they should be desperate?
No, I'm just looking, just numbers wise, just looking at the numbers. They're plus 4.5 in the wild card, and that's not. I mean, look, it's Seattle, it's Kansas City, it's Houston, who probably could be there, but it's not a ton of teams that you're scared of. But what happens if they get hot and you stay cold? That's when it becomes desperation.
Yeah, there could come a moment where it's desperate.
But to me, it's a week or so after the All-Star break.
So you're not there yet.
You can't be there yet. They're 18 games over 500.
So we've got now, let me get this straight. We've got our three candidates so far in the desperation, hey, let's just blow it up and try a new manager. We have Joe Girardi.
Yep.
We have Don Mattingly, who's employed by the Blue Jays, but I'm sure there's something in his deal where they let him go. And then the third is Buck Showalter. All three Yankee ties. Who's the fourth? Is there a fourth man that could kind of fit the bill here?
You want to say Phil Nevin?
No.
Phil Nevin.
Okay.
He's a former Yankee. He's been on the bench before. The ideal target probably would have been Carlos Mendoza.
Carlos Mendoza. Yeah. You got it. He got it without getting it. Here's the fourth man.
Auspice?
Carlos. Now, that's the answer, but we don't like that. That's boring. Carlos Beltran.
Oh, God.
Let's go! Who's putting that poll up? Am I doing it? All right, Yankee fans, you want to desperately fire Aaron Boone? Which of the four do you want? And you know who I was going to put in there, but he's probably too old?
Interesting.
He's not too old to be president. He'd be too old to be the Yankee manager. Is Joe Torre. I was going to say, what about a Joe Torre? is younger than the president.
By the way, can Joe run for president, please?
Joe Torre?
Yes.
Yeah, let's go. So those are your four candidates. I will put the poll up momentarily. Before I do, we good with that? Beltran, Girardi, Buck,
Don,
and Donnie Baseball as your four desperation, hey, let's try anything candidates.
And we don't want to go crazy with a fifth one like A-Rod or Jeter
or nothing
wild. All right, good. I like that four, though.
Because
four.
All of those guys, here's the truth about all those guys. Mattingly's a little bit different because of the contract stuff. All four of those guys get that phone call from Brian Cashman or Hal Steinbrenner. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee they're all running to Yankee Stadium to kick Aaron Boone out of the office so they can take over. All of them.
And all my Yankee fan friends have suggested every single one of those names over the last couple of years. So I think Yankee fans would love all of them. I think it's going to be a tight race. I really don't know who the clear favorite is to win that.
That's a great question. Who does win that?
Mattingly, I mean, from the older generation.
It's going to be Mattingly. Yeah. Yeah, it's just gonna be so many. Because he was good in Miami. Like he's gonna be the guy.
I think,
and they've desired it for so long.
I think Yankee fans love Buck.
Yeah,
I think the Buck.
But
thing,
doesn't the age thing with Buck? Doesn't it bother you a little bit?
The age thing.
Yeah,
he's 30 years younger than our presidential candidates.
But what is his golf game like, though?
Let's go to Lou in Astoria.
He's a six.
What's up? What's up, Lou?
Hey, how you guys doing? Good show.
What's up?
Thanks. What's up?
Listen, right now, you guys are forgetting something about the Yankees, okay? At the beginning, there was four guys that were hitting, and in the first inning, our starting pitcher right away, starting pitching nice and relaxed with a lead, okay? We haven't done nothing like that lately. That's including the $700 million automatic walk total. Okay?
Right.
I mean, he clutches the bases, okay? He's hitting like about one something right now, okay? It's ridiculous. And as far as Boone is concerned, it's not his fault. Until you change this general manager that can bring some good product into the field, don't blame a guy that knows baseball more than all of us to all put together, okay? You can bring, I know somebody named Joe Torre. If you put my man Boone in Joe Torre's team, he'd be a hero. He'd be God.
Wow.
Now, another thing is, real quick.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Real quick. On Luis Gale, okay? Look at the way I said it. Luis Gale. Like, Loogie, it's Luis Gale, not him. He pitched so well last night that Boone was afraid to take him out because even Evans would say, why are you taking the guy out?
I agree, yes.
So well?
By the way, Lou, you're right. Like, and I do this a lot on the Rico where we get into, like, the intricacies of every Met game. And I will admit when I hated a move and I loved the move. So I'll give you a thumbnail. Yesterday, I did not want Edwin Diaz coming in the eighth inning. Mm-hmm. I turned out to be right. But I also didn't want him remaining in the game in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
And so I was wrong. So sometimes I'm right.
Yeah.
I'm wrong.
Right and wrong in two innings.
In this case of Luis Gale, yes, I would have said, why are you in a rush to take him out of the game? Forget this whole get him out with his confidence high crap. Let him get outs and win a baseball game.
Right. He had a great start. He had a quality start.
Yeah.
We talk about quality. He had a quality start. And it's a dominant start in some ways, considering he had nine strikeouts, and he had all of that in the last, four games. So, I mean, he was really good. His confidence is going to be high, not just because he gave up a home run and ultimately was saddled with a loss. Wins and losses don't matter, as we all know. So, ultimately, Luis Gale, and I think Aaron Boone, did the right thing by Luis Gale.
More of your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. We'll check in on that crazy poll on which of those four candidates you would prefer if the Yankees got desperate and said, screw it, let's fire the manager in Aaron Boone, plus something else from last night's Yankee game that was as impressive and as stupid as I've ever seen. We'll address it coming up. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan.